Hence the identities. This encoded every single piece of information about you, your body, and your life into one all-purpose machine-readable card that you could then carry around in your wallet, and therefore represented technology's greatest triumph to date over both itself and plain common sense. Ford pocketed it. A remarkably good idea had just occurred to him. He wondered how long Hal would remain unconscious. "Hey!" he shouted to the little melon-sized robot, slobbering with euphoria up on the ceiling. "You want to stay happy?" The robot gurgled, "It did. Then stick with me and do everything I tell you without fail." The robot said, quite happy where it was up on the ceiling, thank you very much. It had never realized before how much sheer titillation there was to be got from a good ceiling, and it wanted to explore its feelings about ceilings in greater depth. "You stay there," said Ford, "and you'll soon be recaptured and have your conditional chip replaced. You want to stay happy? Come now." The robot let out a long, heartfelt sigh of impassioned tristesse and sank reluctantly away from the ceiling. "Listen," said Ford, "can you keep the rest of the security system happy for a few minutes?" "One of the joys of true happiness," trilled the robot, "is sharing. I brim, I froth, I overflow with..." "Okay," said Ford, "just spread a little happiness around the security network. Don't give it any information. Just make it feel good so it doesn't feel the need to ask for any." He picked up his towel and ran cheerfully for the door. Life had been a little dull of late. It showed every sign now of becoming extremely fruity. Chapter 7. Arthur Dent had been in some hellholes in his life, but he had never before seen a spaceport which had a sign saying, "Even travelling despondently is better than arriving here." To welcome visitors, the arrivals hall featured a picture of the president of Now What, smiling. It was the only picture anybody could find of him, and it had been taken shortly after he had shot himself. So, although the photo had been retouched as well as could be managed, the smile it wore was rather a ghastly one. The side of his head had been drawn back in crayon. No replacement had been found for the photograph, because no replacement had been found for the president. There was only one ambition that anyone on the planet ever had, and that was to leave. Arthur checked himself into a small motel on the outskirts of town, and sat glumly on the bed, which was damp, and flipped through the little information brochure, which was also damp. It said that the planet of Now What had been named after the opening words of the first settlers to arrive there, after struggling across light years of space to reach the furthest unexplored outreaches of the galaxy. The main town was called Owell. There weren't any other towns to speak of. Settlement on Now What had not been a success, and the sort of people who actually wanted to live on Now What were not the sort of people you would want to spend time with. Trading was mentioned in the brochure. The main trade that was carried out was in the skins of the Nowhatian boghog. But it wasn't a very successful one, because no one in their right minds would want to buy a Nowhatian boghog skin. The trade only hung on by its fingernails, because there was always a significant number of people in the galaxy who were not in their right minds. Arthur had felt very uncomfortable looking around at some of the other occupants of the small passenger compartment of the ship. The brochure described some of the history of the planet. Whoever had written it had obviously started out trying to drum up a little enthusiasm for the place by stressing that it wasn't actually cold and wet all the time, but could find little positive to add to this, so the tone of the piece quickly degenerated into savage irony. It talked about the early years of settlement. It said that the major activities pursued on Now What were those of catching, skinning, and eating Now Whatian boghogs, which were the only extant form of animal life on Now What, all others having long ago died of despair. The boghogs were tiny, vicious creatures, and the small margin by which they fell short of being completely inedible was the margin by which life on the planet subsisted. So what were the rewards, however small, that made life on Now What worth living? Well, there weren't any, not a one. Even making yourself some protective clothing out of boghog skins was an exercise in disappointment and futility, since the skins were unaccountably thin and leaky. This caused a lot of puzzled conjecture amongst the settlers. What was the boghog's secret of keeping warm? If anyone had ever learnt the language the boghogs spoke to each other, they would have discovered that there was no trick. The boghogs were as cold and wet as anyone else on the planet. No one had had the slightest desire to learn the language of the boghogs for the simple reason that these creatures communicated by biting each other very hard on the thigh. Life on Now What being what it was, most of what a boghog might have to say about it could easily be signified by these means. End of side 2.